we are looking at the law of God in covenantal context. We have defined what the law of God is, and we are looking at it from the point of the larger catechism of the Westminster Divines, as they have so instructed us as to its meaning. We are looking at sermon number 80, I believe it is, or 81. Figure that out sometime. Get back to me and tell me where we're at. I've forgotten now. We're still dealing with the fifth commandment. And we're dealing with the concept of honoring mother and father. Now, I would remind you that what we've been dealing with is the relationship, the principle behind this fifth commandment is the relationship between superiors and inferiors, and how that some superiors are in an equal relationship with other superiors, and some inferiors are in equal relationship with each other. We've talked about the duty that superiors have toward inferiors. We're talking about also the duties that inferiors have to superiors. We've done that and completed. We're moving on to finish up superiors over inferiors. Understand, the duty in doing this is that we as superiors, those of us, father and mother, whether you're working, whether you're a civil magistrate, whatever the case may be, in whatever lot you have, in church, whatever, our job is to help others. If their lot in life is to be an inferior, we are to help them to be the best they can be and be content in that which God has given them to end, to carry out through their life. Very, very important that they are to learn how to have due respect and to hold the office of a superior with great integrity. And at the same time, for superiors to know what they are to do to ministers, to inferiors, in their position of being an inferior. But also the relationship of superiors to superiors, and in the case of inferiors, that they are to be able to teach them how they are to work, encourage, and strengthen each other in the faith. All of this on the basis of how we structure our home. The home is the structure to explain authority and the ordering of life based on the fifth commandment. And so it is, I want us to again return to that subject. But let us first look at our sermon text. Deuteronomy 9, 10 through 11. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenants. Shall we look to the Lord our God in prayer? Our holy and gracious Father, we thank you for the word you have given to us. We are not left in darkness. Your word is the light. It's the lamp to our path. It directs us in the way that we ought to go. We do not have to ask the question, what would Jesus do in any situation, as the contemporary church has tried to cleverly point out and say, well, what would Jesus do ought to be the question you should be asking. No, it is not. What does the Word of God say I should do? For the Word of God would give us no answer different than Christ himself. And the Spirit of God who leads us and indwells us wrote this word through holy men. And so, Father, we pray that we would be people of integrity with the Word. That we would remember that it is our duty to apply the underlying principles of the Word, especially of your law, to our life. that we might honor you and glorify you in all that we speak and do. Father, help us in this hour to continue in considering and thinking through these responsibilities and duties. Everyone in life at some point will be a superior. At least if they are mother and father, they will be a superior in their own home. Even if they're not a superior in the civil magistrate or in the church, they are still superiors, and yet they will be inferiors. They have duties and responsibilities to their children and duties and responsibilities to those who govern over them and teach and rule over them. We pray, O God, that as we learn these principles from the home, it would direct our path in our respect and honoring of those who have positions of authority, whether it is in the church or the state. Your home, your commandment, is our sociological foundation on how we are to live. Here, sociology is built up, developed, and properly taught. It is in relationship to the home, which those who come up as inferiors, the children, learn their duty, their place, their responsibility. They learn that they will have those same duties as mother and father also one day. And they will also remember that they were inferiors and still may be inferiors in other spheres, whether it's the church or the state, or even in a vocation. And yet, God, we ask that there always be proper response, thought, attitude, the direction of their life always being conforming to the word, not revolting from the responsibility you have given to us. Help us, O God, to structure our homes in a way that we would live to glorify and honor you. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Here again, we have built on the first four commandments, the first tablet. Those commandments deal with our relationship with God. But now the fifth commandment is, from out of the home will flow all other relationships that are learned here in the home. The duty of mother and father in the home is great. It is a heavy responsibility, not one to be taken lightly, but rather one to endure and to work and to strive to ensure that each of our children not only love God, to love His law and His word, to love His Son, Jesus Christ, but to so love Him in a way to structure His life with order, the way that God says that He is to order it. Because even as an inferior, He has a duty to structure His life. As one who becomes a superior, if he starts a family at some point in time, or she, there is a responsibility there. Structure the home. This is an ongoing process. Look at very carefully the history of all societies. History will show you the greatest attacks upon any people or any nation is attacks that come upon the home. When the home fails, so will society, so will the church, because the society and the church are designed to protect the family. The law of God is given for us that we might be as a people, know how that we as families are to honor God, worship God, to structure our lives and our homes, and respect and develop other relationships with other men. And thus it is the protection of the home that we are so concerned about. I think there's nothing greater in our society that has happened than the fact that we have ruined our families in this time of life. And as a result, we do not have maturing children stepping into the role of taking responsibility as an adult. Adam and Eve were created when? As adults. They weren't an egg. They weren't laid by a chicken. And then hatched. And then grew up. God created them, man and woman, after his image, with full duty and responsibility. They stepped right into it. I'm trying to snap it in one word. They stepped right into it. What we have because of Adam's transgression is a revolt by our children against maturity. They don't want to step up and take the duty and responsibilities God has set for them. And the home has failed to teach that very thing. Well, we've been looking at these duties of superiors. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We covered the first four duties of superiors. If you don't have that, you can always go back and listen to it. We archive all the sermons. But I don't have time to cover that and finish up the sermon this week. So we're just going to pick up where we left off. Point number five. Superiors are bound to protect, to provide both spiritually and materially for those under their authority. Now, that's structured within the home. If you are in a position of authority civilly or in a church ecclesiastically, there is a certain amount of duty and responsibility that we all have as superiors. But in the home in particular, you have the duty of both spiritual and material provisions for those that are in positions of inferior. But also, that carries true in life. We have been gifted by God to a status of being superior, for example, in the civil magistrate. Our job is to try to make the system of government work in such a way that as vocations and stuff are grown up, we are able to provide for our people those things that they need. One, suppress evil. Two, support what is good and right and true. To promote the true spiritual nature of Christianity within the people of which we are governing. And third, we are to make sure that in doing these things, there is a material benefit that is a part of that. That is part of our job. It comes from when we were children. Mother and father had a job not only to spiritually provide for us, but to materially provide for us. The Bible says the man who will not work shouldn't eat. Very simple principle. If you don't want to do your duty in taking care of your family, then you suffer the consequence. Well, the same principle applies in society. You don't want to work when you can work, and when there's provision for you to work, when you want to just live off of others and basically steal from them, simple, don't eat. Now, I'll guarantee you it won't take long to get people to work if they want to live. And so it is, we must not become a welfare state. Our job is to make them successful even as inferiors. We're to spiritually minister to them, and we're to seek to provide through the right structure of things, material things of life that they need. Thus, they should have an attitude of gratefulness. because they have been given and provided those spiritual and material things that are essential to life. And so it is, we not only make provision for them, but they themselves take on an air of integrity toward and the responsibility of responding properly to that position of superiority. In the book of Job, in Job 29, verses 12 through 17, we read, "Because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the one who had no helper, the blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and plucked the victim from his teeth." In Job, the responsibility, the superior, has this duty to fulfill. And Job says, when I fulfilled it, I took on all these different roles in the way that I acted in my position of superior, as one with authority and with the ability, with the things that God had blessed me to be able to help those who were inferior, and especially those who had truly a biblical need. Isaiah 1:10 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah." Hear what God is saying to you. You have a responsibility to order your life the way God has told you to order it. Doesn't matter your status. Superior, inferior, superior to superior, inferior to inferior, whatever the case may be, you have a responsibility to hear the word of God. In Isaiah 1:17, we're told, "Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." Those are our duties as superiors. We have that responsibility. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Don't provoke them to wrath on the basis of what? Asking them or telling them or demanding of them things that are not biblical. Rather, train them in the things of the Lord concerning their duties, responsibilities, and don't provoke them to sin, to anger against you. 1 Timothy 5 says to us, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." You have a job and responsibility to be a superior. Act like a superior. Take those duties upon yourself. Don't hold them back, but provide, use them. Not only to order your life, but to help others order theirs. to help them spiritually and materially structure their life in a way that they can fulfill their duty even as an inferior before God. Sixth, superiors must set a good example to those under their authority, thus glorifying God. We have a duty as superiors to set an example. We have this responsibility for them to be able to emulate us. So we have to be cognizant of our actions, especially around inferiors, so that we are an example to them of what is true and right and just according to the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Titus 2:3-5 says to us, "The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine." You see, it's the women who are the wine mockers here. They're the ones that drink too much. I'm just kidding. It just happens to say that. I guess that's because they're sitting at home doing nothing during the day. No, it's not that at all. He just says, don't let them get too caught up into too much wine. Rather, what? Be teachers of good things. That isn't a calling to an office. Let them, through their life, illustrate, teach those who may come to them and say, you know, I've had to deal with this. Have you ever had to deal with it before? If they've dealt with it and they're older, they can be teachers of good things in their life. Others. They have set an example. You seem to have worked through this. How did you do that? That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Well, you would assume they're married, they probably love their husband. It's not talking about that kind of love. I really don't believe it is. The love that is being spoken of is that commitment says that you love them in a way that you will not violate them. You will not transgress the law of God toward them. Love your husband. Keep God's law. That love is the fulfillment of the law. Love your children. Don't violate the law of God toward them either. Be discreet. Chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's the woman's duty. In a relationship to another superior, her husband, though he has the administrative head and responsibility, you both are parents to children, and therefore you both are in positions of superiors. Love your husband. Love your superior. Love the one you are in equality with, equal to, in that responsibility. Love your children. Teach them. Be discreet. How? In everything that he says, he's telling us how to live our life. Why? That we might emulate what they themselves need to learn how to live in their life. Seventh, we can, as a superior by good example, in doing what is right, we will gain honor among those who not only maintain authority with us, but those who have a position of inferiority with us, i.e. they're inferiors. By good example, superiors will gain honor among other superiors and of inferiors. Is that important? Of course it is. You want people to speak of your integrity, of your love, of your commitment, that you are a different individual. You're holy. You're different than the world. You walk in righteousness. You keep the law of God toward other people. That's your duty and responsibility, so that others will respect that, will honor that. 1 Kings 3:28 says, "And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." We want the people to see we can administer justice and goodness and righteousness in all that we do. We want that respect from them. We want to earn that respect from inferiors or from other superiors who are working with us at whatever sphere of life we may find ourselves working. Titus 2:15 says, "Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." You have a duty to speak the truth of things, to teach, to train, to exhort people, to rebuke. Do not let them despise your youth if you're young, because you're doing what is right. If you've been put in a position as a young man of authority and there are older men than you, entreat them as a father. But at the same time, speak truth to them. Demonstrate the wisdom of God and the justice of God by doing God's word in your life and in theirs, in treating them the way that God tells us we are to entreat each other in this life. Well, if I can, let me give you just a few observations. Few observations along with, if you will, explanations, clarifications of this area of the fifth commandment. The principle that is set forth in this question is that of authority as it relates or involves responsibility. That's what we're talking about. If you're one who is a superior, you have been given an authority, and you're expected to be responsible with the authority you've been given, whether it's in the home, church, or state. Not options. You've been placed there. God has already structured and explained the structure authority within that relationship. You are to fulfill it. There is no such thing as a legitimate authority without a corresponding responsibility. Some people like to have authority. They don't want the responsibility that goes with it. You want to talk about a train wreck? Look at Washington, D.C. You got a bunch of fools up there that want authority. They don't want the responsibility that corresponds with it to do the things they want to do. The schemes and the crackpot ideas they come up with. Nobody can live with those things. Nobody can figure out a way to make it work. They do it not as a just people with authority. They do it with authority that's been given and out the consequence of responsibility. God help us that we begin to take authority seriously, especially when we go to the polls and vote. What's the most surprising thing that's happened in the last 45, 50, 60, maybe 100 years in America? We got a president that's actually for the first time doing what he said he would do. Nobody was expecting that. Politicians are expected to pat you on the cheek, lie to you, smile, promise everything in the world, and go their own way, and you vote for them. No. They should be held responsible for what they say, for what they do, for what they promise. Because then they're only acting with authority and not responsibility. And it's responsibility that brings to pass the duties they have in their authority given to them. And of course, the greater the authority, the greater the responsibility is. Think about it in your life. If you're not just a mother and father, maybe you're an officer in the church, or maybe you're an officer in the civil magistrate, or maybe in your vocation you've been promoted upwards. Think of all those things. As you get promoted upwards, you become one who has greater authority and more responsibility. And the question you ought to ask is, how do I execute my authority in a way that is going to benefit those who are inferior to me? That both they will grow spiritually and they will gain material aspects of their life through proper means. That's not giving it away, earning it. But you've provided the means of the environment to cause that very thing to come to pass. How important that is to us, that we understand those things. Those who have been trusted with authority, whether family, church, or state, are responsible to God for the right exercise of their authority. Very hard thing to get across today. Because politically, everybody talks about their religion and God. Just become something, it's because the Christians made and pushed that point. Everybody, from the liberals down to the humanists, have all talked about. Even the atheists talk about God in some way politically, whether it's themselves as God or whether there is some unknown God out there that exists. There is something about in politics the necessity of them speaking about God. But it's a lie. You know why it's a lie? Because they don't take seriously that there is someone who's going to judge them for failing to exercise their authority. They have no fear of God yet. But payday comes one day, and I'll guarantee you it will all change. They will pay, but there'll be change. The authority of superiors is divergent according to the amount of authority received from God, according to the nature of the relationship that is involved. For example, a governor of a state has a different responsibility from that of a mayor of a city. The responsibility of a parent in the home differs from that of a minister or elder in the church. In each case, responsibility still exists. For authority always implies responsibility. But the degree and the nature of the responsibility vary according to the facts in each case. Thus, the attitude of sincere goodwill, which will find expression in love, in prayer, in blessing, that is, in a true interest in an earnest effort to secure their well-being and the well-being of those who are their inferiors under them, will show itself in how they act and how they take responsibility to love, to pray, to bless, not with empty words, but with actions that back up those words. The responsibility of superiors concerning the education of those inferiors is one, to instruct them. Two, give godly counsel to them. Three, admonish them when admonishment is proper. Fourth, instill knowledge to advise them concerning their problems and to warn them against evil in their life as required by the circumstances and as they are proper to particular relationships that they are involved in. You have that duty. You are a superior. Hey, we're thinking of going out and doing this. No, you shouldn't do that. Why? It's wrong. It's evil. Oh, well, I don't want to get involved in people's life. I got news for you. You've got the responsibility from your authority. You've got to get involved. You don't get a choice. There's no option here, people. You don't want to be a superior in that position? Don't take it, because you got the responsibility if you do. To do things some people aren't going to be happy with. Those who are willing to learn and those who really want to be blessed and want to advance themselves in life will accept it. The others will not. But they hate all authority. The only authority they want is self-authority. I want to do as I want to do, and no one has the right to tell me it's wrong. I got news. That runs short at some point in time. A magistrate in the state, a pastor in the church, or an elder, a parent at home, all have responsibilities to instruct, to counsel, and to admonish under the different circumstances that they find themselves in, and in part concerning different matters. Try institutional unity. The church, the state, and the home ought to be thinking as one. We are to be one kingdom under God. We are ruled by the law of God, though we have various divisions of spheres within that, whether it's home, church, or state, but nevertheless all governed by the word of the living God. And in that, we are to have unity, oneness of mind, and we are to instruct, admonish, and we are to set forth all the right counsel that God has given to us and how that we ought to live out our lives, how we are to work to his integrity and glory in honoring him in all things. Truth is, they must be in agreement. The problem is when one wants to outdo the others, when it's out of balance, the home is central. But when they're out of balance, they're going to go to war with the other two. They're going to seek to undermine it. All of a sudden, the state that has no business in education is going to say, let us educate your children. Why? We want to teach them to be statists. We want to get them away from Christian education. We want to put them under that Antichrist educational system. That is not biblical. Why? So they'll become dependent upon the state. They'll be wards of the state. We will own them, control them. And when we control the family, we get to control the future of your nation. Plato said it well years ago. Give me your children at age 2. I'll put them in the gymnasium, which was their schooling system. And he says, by the time they're young adults, after a few generations, I will give you whatever you want your nation to be. Because we can educate them to do that. But that's not God's system. We have this duty and responsibility to continuing them, that is, morally supporting, commending, to praise, rewarding them, expressing appreciation, and giving them a good word of encouragement for the work that they do and the actions that they take when it's right. It's the right kind of approval that they need to ensure that they themselves are secure with doing the right thing in their life. Consistently. rewarding them in some suitable manner, thus encouraging them in their effort to do what is right. That's the job of superiors. Are you willing to take that duty and responsibility? Well, if you want to get married and have children, hey, you got it. That's a position God already laid out. You want to be a civil magistrate? Are you willing to carry out the word of God and do what is right? Not what you think is right, not what the world thinks is right, not what the public demands or votes to right. We don't care. What God says is right is what we are to exercise. Are you willing to do that and do it carefully and prayerfully before the Lord? We have the responsibility of also disapproving, reproving, and chastising, or censuring, if you will, them for their mistakes. With the positive things come the negative things. When they are wrong, they've got to be told, you're wrong. That is withholding approval. Approval concerning their actions, their expressions, reproof in proper words, and of necessity correcting them for their wrongdoings by suitable and acceptable penalties or punishments. And last, superiors owe the inferiors whatever protection is required by the circumstances and is in their power to provide it and make provisions for it of all things necessary for soul and body. It's never to the damage of another. A welfare state is an injustice to the people who work for the things that they receive from God. People who work hard to receive a pay that they can provide for their families. It's wrong when the state steals that money, or the federal government steals the money and gives it to those who will not work. Everyone works or you don't eat. You don't have a job? You got all these children, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put you in a job. We're going to teach you how to do it. And you're going to go to work. And the money you get from welfare is what you're going to earn in that job. You'll want to eat. You got to work. You're not going to sit at home and have a bunch of kids and have us give you $1 million a year to live on the backs of people who are working hard to barely make it in society. What kind of authority is that? How could we respect superiors who act that way, who do not act responsible with what they've been given their responsibility to do? Again, the kind and degree of protection that is to be given and preservation will vary according to the nature of the relationship involved. For example, the state must protect its people against lawlessness, against violence of criminals and revolutionaries, at their home, at their vocation, in their churches and society, as well as against the hostile acts of foreign terrorist activities against them, whether it's homegrown terrorism or foreign terrorism. Their job is to suppress it, not glorify it. Our government has made so many mistakes. One of the great mistakes is they're allowing terrorism to grow up among us, and they do not punish it. It needs to be punished, and it needs to be done away with quickly. Not waiting for 10 years or 20 years until it grows into a full-fledged revolution. Because revolution is not of God. It's communism at its best. The church must protect its members against soul-destroying false doctrines and heresies, against all forms of propaganda that are contrary to the Word of God. Things that would cause schism and division in the body. Our job is to keep us united as one. And sometimes people go in different directions, and you've got to deal with it. It's our job. I'm a superior. I've got to exercise responsibility for your care. And part of your care is for me to keep heretical and non-orthodox practices out of this church. That's my job. You want a part of that job? Come talk to us. Get the training. We'll be happy to have you join us. I'll be happy to let you deal with it from now on and let me off of that responsibility. It's the dark side of the church. It's the hard side. It's trying to deal with people that you love, but you have to deal with them. It's never easy. It's never easy. The head of the family must protect its members against whatever is wrong, whatever is harmful, whatever is destructive, insofar as it is within their power to do so. You have the responsibility to maintain the family, and you must protect it against anything that is wrong, harmful, or destructive. That's your job. You took on the job when you had children. Welcome to being superiors. And guess what? You're the ones that have to teach them how to be right kind of superiors, so when they grow up, they will exercise authority in a godly way, the same as you do. The head of the family must provide food, clothing, shelter, Medicare. By that I mean medical care. As well as adequate general education and cultivate Christian doctrine and morality to those who are under their charge. The responsibility of the church is chiefly to the spiritual domain or sphere, and it is to provide, one, a faithful preaching of the word, two, the right administration of the sacraments, and third, a proper exercise of church discipline without respect to persons. Ordinarily, the church is not obligated to provide, one, food. It was to be done within the families. Let the families take care of their families. The church is not required to provide clothing. It's not wrong if you want to set up a food bank. I have no problem with that. But we cannot be deacons to the world, because the world is much larger than we are. You go broke trying to provide all the food for the world. Our job is not to provide food. Our job is not to provide clothing. Our job is not to provide shelter. For as members, but in cases of real need, the church has a duty to help those individuals who are its members to get through those difficult times. We do that through the diaconate of the church in order to ensure that the necessities of life are met in the household and that they are helped by also being instructed in how to find a better position in life or get educated to a new practice, whatever they can do that will provide for the family. I say that whatever you want to do, if you want to have 10 kids, I don't care. Just don't expect me to raise them for you. You've got to act responsibly. You got 10 kids, that's going to be expensive. Get two jobs. Don't complain. Just get two jobs. It's going to take that to live in this society. It's costly. You know that. Live within your means. But sometimes when in the providence of God, things happen that people cannot meet their needs, that's why we have a diaconate that takes money and puts it aside in order to help provide the needs of the members of the church, the household of faith. As for the state, its obligation consists chiefly in protecting and upholding the freedom and security of the individual, of the family, and of the church. This is to be accomplished by administering public justice, two, enacting and enforcing just and equitable laws, and three, providing for the public welfare in times of crisis or emergency only. It is not the proper function of the state to provide food. It's not to provide clothing. It is not to provide shelter for the people. However, the exception would be under a time of emergency conditions when temporary relief is literally imperative to the preservation of the family. It's not that it can't step over that, but it's only a temporary fix. It has to understand that. It cannot maintain it. It cannot and exists. The proper function of the state, according to the Bible, is to maintain one, justice, two, law, and three, order in the social and economic spheres that the citizens can properly provide these material necessities of life for themselves and their family. Superiors are to set themselves as good examples, so they will, one, glorify God, two, obtain honor for themselves because of their wisdom and justice, and three, maintain the authority of God which He has committed to them. Needless to say, without a consistently good example for inferiors by superior persons in positions of authority will not be respected, nor will their instructions, counsels, be heeded and obeyed. The government official who himself is guilty of lawbreaking cannot influence citizens to keep the law. The minister or elder who is guilty of compromise with the sins of the world cannot have a wholesome influence toward godly living among the members of the church. The parent who lies, swears, and loses his temper and cannot properly teach his children in a just and wise, loving way to be truthful, to learn to be reverent, to be self-controlled and respectful. It won't happen. In each case, the failure to set a good example, that is, the fulfilling of their duties because of the authority granted to them, it may result in contempt for authority on the part of those who are subject to the authority of others, whether it's the family, the church, or the state. With that duty of being a superior comes a large amount of responsibility. They are responsible. And they are responsible to do what is right. Not what they think is right. Not what the public says to them. We think this is what's right. Their obligation is to God, for He has ordered all of life and structures to society. He has told us what is good government and what is bad. What is a good church or a bad church? What is a good family or a bad family? And we are to fulfill the role of the good, whether it's church, state, or family, that those under us will learn also to have respect, love, and a desire to one day emulate those who are in authority over them. May God help us to learn this. This is very important. This commandment is so important. It's foundational to our nation. Without the family being right, the state will not be right, and the church will not be right. And they will only feed into the sin of the family. God, help us to see this responsibility that we have based on this fifth commandment. Honor your mother and father, that it may be well with you. Commandment with a promise. Shall we pray?